morning. I'm very, very blessed to be here again with you. And the fact that my wife and my son are here, it's a joy for me. Can anybody help me with reading a passage from Matthew 18? Maybe somebody with better English than mine. Yes. Matthew 18, from verse 21 until the end of the chapter. Thank you very much for the help. Thank you very much. Thank you. Dear Lord, please help us receive something from your heart. Please help me speak. Give me a humble heart, not to think that I know, but to receive from you. And refresh us with your presence through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My question in reading this passage, which I think you might know very well, the passage, right? It's not something new from the Bible, but my question is, why was this man unable to forgive the first servant, you know? Why was he unable to forgive? Why? I mean, and then also, what is the master telling him? Is the master telling him only from a moral point of view, like, come on, man, I forgave you so much and you cannot forgive a little, what's that? Is that the only teaching from the Bible in this passage? So I want to start this message with telling you something that you will not believe me because you don't know me. But when I preached the message in the back in the church where I go, everybody believed me because they know me. So here's the thing, I'm a very bad person. You might not believe this, because I'm the guest speaker here. So usually when you ask someone to speak, he might be, he's a guest, he's very nice, sometimes famous. But back in my church, everybody knows me. But it's not only the fact that I'm a bad person, but I look in the Bible at bad people in the Bible. And the funny thing is that I see myself in them. And I think, like, I could do that. I was thinking at the story of Saul that persecuted David. And Saul was the king. He had the authority. And I'm the pastor in the church in where I come from. And I could see myself like Saul, like persecuting people, and maybe I am Saul. But then, you know, David had trouble with his son Absalom. Absalom was what you would call the underdog. He does not have the authority, but that's actually a very good position to be in when you challenge the authority. You are speaking behind, you create a conspiracy. And you know what? I can see myself in that too. I can see myself in Peter denying the Lord. Maybe that's a question that every Christian asks. Am I like Peter? How many times have I denied the Lord, or have I not said Have I not confessed that, yeah, I know Jesus, he's my Lord. But Peter denied the Lord. And somehow, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, how bad can I be? Or how low can I go? Can I go as low as Judas to sell the Lord? Of course, we are only humans. We are not angels. But so we can never be like Lucifer. But when I look at what Lucifer did in heaven, that he turned against the Lord. And Lucifer had the full knowledge. He was there in heaven. And he decided in his heart to be against God, which is called the mystery of iniquity. So I know we are not angels, but I could see myself even as Lucifer. So I'm asking, what's the deal with it? And what's the message for me? What is God telling me? Is God telling me, just do your best and don't be like these bad guys? So how do you define a bad guy? And how do you define a good guy? What is God thinking about this? We know very well to say this is bad, this is good. We are quick at judging. Where is that coming from? And we know there was a tree in the garden called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And man ate from that tree and became a sinner. So life for the sinful man became like there is a bad part in man and then there is a good part in man. So morality and religion started from this, which is do good, don't do bad. And this is the human thinking. It's not God's thinking. This is human thinking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So humans see in themselves inside, there is bad in me. Oh, but there is also good in me. So humans think, let me try to live in the good that is in me and not live in the bad that is in me. And then you look at the bad people in the Bible and you conclude, these people lived in the bad side, bad thing that is in them. So then try this approach and look at the Bible to find good people. Try to find so what is the good that Peter lived in? What is the good side that Peter lived in? Let's see how God looks at these things. When God gave the law, of course, he gave the law so that people would not kill each other. That's just normal thing. That thing, he put it in the law, but he also put it in the conscience of humans. So humans, even if they don't have the law of Moses, they know that it's bad to kill each other or to steal. So God did have that purpose in the law. He also had a purpose in the law to establish the nation of Israel and worship. But the main purpose of the law, which the Bible clearly explains, was that every mouth would be shut, closed, and that every person would be proved a sinner. What the Lord did with the law was to lock inside bag labeled sinners, all people. Everything that is in the heart of man, both the bad part and the good part. Because the Bible says there is nobody to do good without sinning, without doing evil. So God does not approve the good part in us and condemns the bad part in us. God says we are sinful. We are sinners completely. Both the good part in us and the bad part in us. And then what the Lord did was to come and take our sin and pay for it in full. And then say, God said, you are forgiven. So this is the message of the gospel. There is a purity in the message of the gospel. Because the message of the gospel does not say, try to live in your good part. And don't live in your bad part. The message of the gospel is not morality. Even though that message is a good message. We want people to live in the good part, right? We don't want to kill each other on the street. That's a good message. It's not that that message is bad. It is that we have a better message. The message of the gospel says, you are forgiven. And if you are ready, we can go to the next step in the message. There are no bad people in the sense that they lived in the bad part of their heart. These people refused the forgiveness of God. That's the key. It's not that I am a bad person or, hey, I am a good person. Is do I accept God's forgiveness or do I reject it? I'm not a theologian. I don't know how to measure things. And certainly the Bible does not encourage us to compare sins. So I made this introduction only to say that to me it seems the same when Peter three times denied swearing that he doesn't know the Lord with Judas selling the Lord. The difference between Peter and Judas is not that Peter was better than Judah. The difference between them, they are both sinners, but Peter accepted forgiveness, and Judas did not accept the forgiveness of God. So the message that we leave today from the church is not, I should be a better person, is I am forgiven. I am not better than Judas or Peter or someone that people might call the worst person in the village or in the town. I'm not better than them. I know I am a sinner. But the question is if I received the forgiveness, if I am forgiven. Who am I? Am I a better person than somebody else? No. Am I forgiven? Yes. Why does God forgive me? Technically, theologically, we know. Because Jesus paid for our sin. That's why he forgives us. What does it mean that he forgave us? We do not understand sometimes. We think he excused me. He understood that I was not that bad. He understood that I had my reasons. Or we think he gave me another chance. That's what we think about forgiveness. He gave me a new chance. What about forgiveness? What about the love of God? You know, some people think, oh, God saw some good in me. That's why he loved me. So then, now the message is for me to live in that good that God saw in me. But the purity of the gospel is that God saw nothing good in me but loved me, paid for my sins, and I am forgiven. And I should live in this identity that there is nothing good in me but I am forgiven. Why did the first servant come out of in front of his master and he did not forgive somebody else? I think he understood that he was forgiven. He was happy that he was forgiven. But his identity was like, I was never in debt. His identity was like, I'm not a bad person. I'm actually a good person. I deserved forgiveness. And I don't want to be forgiven by the Lord and then think, now I am a good person. I deserved it. I am a good person. This does not take away from the forgiveness of the Lord. It does not take away. I am fully forgiven. And my sins are buried and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God fully. And yet, it's not like I have never sinned. It's not like that. It's like I am a forgiven sinner. But this guy, the first servant, came out from in front of his master, forgiven, but thinking, I have never sinned. I am a good guy. And then he met somebody who was owing him money, and that was a bad guy. I'm a good guy, but you're a bad guy. But I am good. Hey, I have no debt. But living as if he never had debt. That was my understanding why he didn't forgive. So what do you think about this? Let's prepare to close the message. How do we see holiness? Like, is this a matter of morality? Try and do good. Try and live in the good part of that is in you. If we try to do that, then the good part of us is only one side of the coin. On the other side is the bad part in us. So trying to do good will not help us not live in the bad that is in us. Holiness is not a matter of you try to live in the good that is in you. Holiness is just understanding that you are forgiven. Because if you just try to live in the good that is in you, then let me say it about me. If I just try to live in the good that is in me, then I will have no mercy for people that don't try to be good. Who are we here in the church? Are we are nice people. Come on. We are nice people, nicely dressed and with our hands in our pockets and smile on our face. But we don't think like, hey, I'm a good person. We don't think that. On us, there is the blood of Jesus that testifies that we are sinners, but we have been forgiven. Yes, nobody is here without the blood of Jesus on him. Nobody is here like, oh, I didn't need the blood of Jesus. I didn't need to be forgiven because I am good. We are all sinners and forgiven. And that is our identity. That is our message. Okay, so that is holiness. And then, just in closing, what does it mean to know nobody after the flesh? In Christ, we are a new creation. And in the church, we see each other in Christ. Sometimes we think in a wrong way, and we think that means to see the good in somebody. But that puts such a pressure on people to see the good in them. To see what it truly means to see someone in Christ is to see them forgiven. You are forgiven. Because when you put that pressure on people that, oh, I see the good in you, or there is good in you, you put a pressure and an expectation on them, like, oh, this person would not do such and such things. But that's not seeing people in Christ. Seeing people in Christ is, I know you are a sinner, but you are forgiven. Do you know that? You are forgiven. That is our message. Our message is not, we are better people, you should try also to be a better person. Our message is, we are forgiven. And it is that forgiveness that will, in time, change us. The grace of God changes us. It's not our effort to try and be better. So we don't think about people or even about the pastor. Oh, he's a great person. He would never do bad things. That is also putting your trust in people. But we just magnify the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. We are forgiven. That is our identity. So this message was because I was wondering, why didn't this guy forgive the other guy? How was he feeling? What was he thinking? Because he was forgiven a great debt. But he was like, I was excused. I was given a second chance. Now let's try to be better, not create that debt again. But how do we go home from church? I am forgiven. I am a sinner, but I am forgiven. I am not a better person, but I am forgiven. So, amen. Lord, please help us understand our wretchedness. Your Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, that we are no better than anybody, but we are forgiven. So that this forgiveness that we received would become our message and would become something that we give to others because it's our identity. We are forgiven. It's not something that we forget. Our sins are forgotten, but being forgiven is never forgotten. So, Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that did this all and gave us a new identity in you. We thank you, Lord. Amen.